Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence with us. And just pray for anybody in our family or in our friends in this body suffering with some health thing. Lord, we just lift up to you and trust you completely with it. You know all of our hearts, our backs, our hips, our knees, our nerves, our minds, our thyroids, our lymph nodes, our lungs, everything, Lord. Heal, we ask in your name. Amen. Okay, open with me to John chapter 14. John 14. We're going to read actually a little bit here. We're going to read from verse 19 all the way to verse 31. Jesus is speaking here. This is called the upper room discourse, that Christ is up in the upper room with his disciples and he is teaching. Who is he teaching? His disciples, yeah, the people he's in the room with. I just said it, right? He's teaching his disciples. At this point, 11, because Judas is gone. And he is teaching these 11 men. We see it starting in chapter 13, but chapter 14, 15, and 16 is Jesus teaching these 11 men exclusively. And then in chapter 17, we see Christ's prayer for us as our high priest. But let's go way ahead. Right? Look at how he closes this teaching, this upper room discourse. I'll read it to you in John 16, 33. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Right? That's how he ends the teaching. When we are listening to a teaching, we're looking to come to a conclusion. Right? If someone is teaching us how to drive a car, hopefully by the end of that teaching, the car is in one piece, right? The stress level is low and I can go pass my test to get a driver's license, right? Teaching brings to a conclusion. What is the end? Right? Okay, you could picture the father handing, taking the keys back from the child after teaching them to drive. And the conclusion could be, you are nowhere near ready. Don't you ever dream of taking these keys again, right? Or the conclusion could be, let's go to the RMV or DMV, MVA, whatever it's called, right? And you can take your test. You are ready, right? The end of this teaching is this, right? I've spoken these things to you that in me, Christ is speaking, in me, you may have peace. In me, you may have peace. Why is that important to differentiate? Because in the world you will have tribulation. We could say the opposite of peace. Tribulation. Pressure on every side. Right? Just squeezed from every side. Nowhere to go. Right? Compressed and from each direction, every dimension, there is pressure. But in the middle of that pressure and in the middle of that tribulation, be of good cheer. And the disciples could be saying, no, you must be misspeaking, Lord. Where is the joy? Where is the cheer? What reason do I have to celebrate in the midst of tribulation? Well, remember, your peace is in me. And your reason to celebrate is not because of tribulation, but because I have overcome the world. So now we can go back to chapter 14. And listen to the teaching. That phrase, "these things I have spoken," is repeatedly in the upper room discourse. He is repeatedly saying, "these things I have spoken." Right? Why? Because they're important. Right? And he wants to always constantly be bringing attention back to the words that he has spoken. Right? The words in red. Isn't there a song about it? The red letters. Right? Something. The ground began to shake or something like that. And I read the red letters. Okay, here we go. Get to it. We said John 14, 19 like 20 minutes ago. Let's go. John 14, 19. "A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. At that day you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you." That's an interesting thing, isn't it? That Christ is in the Father. We are in Christ and Christ is in us. How complete is that? That is complete. Like, there is no opening there. Actually, like Sadie's shoes. Sadie's shoes have a zipper, a buckle, and shoelaces, Right? Isn't that amazing? There is amazing security in those boots. Like, shit, they're not come off. Right? And I don't mean to equate the Trinity with Sadie's shoes, but it helped me this morning. Right? But Christ is in the Father, right? We are in Christ, and He is in us. That is a relationship. Does it make sense to us naturally? Right? Like Martin Luther said, when I get to a portion of scripture that I don't understand, I tip my hat to it and move on. Right? And in this way, this doesn't make sense to me naturally, but how could Christ be in the Father? How could He be in me and I be in Him? How could we all be? And Christ says, let's move on from this. Like, I'm speaking it, the words are important, but you might not understand them now. And He keeps going. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, poor guy, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? How will we see you and the world not see you? How can I see something that nobody else sees? It's an interesting thing. Well, Judas, I'm not talking about the physical eyes. I'm not talking about the natural senses. I'm talking about something different. And you might not understand it now, but trust me, you will. And remember, back to verse 18, I will not leave you as an orphan, but I will come to you. Right? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We will make our home with him. We will do visits. We will set up a structured plan of when I am present and when I am not. No, there will be some, litigated time where you are allowed to be with someone as long as someone else is there. Nope. We will make our home with you. And that we will find ourselves content with you. God has always dwelt with his people. If you read the Old Testament, it is God's heart to be dwelling with his people. Always. Back in the beginning with Adam and Eve, they're in the Garden of Eden, right? And it's just the two of them in a perfect environment. The millions of types of fruit, right? Just perfect. Everything they could ever imagine. And then who is there present with them? The voice of the Lord walking with them in the cool of the day. It has always been God's heart to be with his people. Look at the nation of Israel and the promise that's given to them and the signs that are visibly given to them of God's presence with them. Now Christ is teaching his disciples as he is planning to leave that he will also be making his home with people. And that's how we see him. We see him in our lives. Right? He is manifest in us, and we'll get to it. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. These things I have spoken. There it is, right? These things I have spoken to you. What can we say about these things? What are they? One is that he is departing. Remember that bombshell? How are you guys feeling? Was that last week we spoke about it? Are you guys feeling good? Are you happy with the way things are going? Yes, Jesus, as long as you were here with us, we feel great about everything we get into. Okay, good. I'm leaving. What? What? How could you be going? Wait, we want to go. He says the way you don't know, but I'll come back. Wait, we want to go. Why would we? What are you talking about? Automatic, insecurity setting in. That everything we are is because you are with us, Lord. What do you mean you are leaving? He says, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will come to you. These things. Okay. The second thing we could say he's speaking about is the promise of the Holy Spirit. Remember he said it back in verse 16. He says, I will pray to the Father and he will send another helper and he will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, right? So there is the departure of Christ, but there is also the promise of the Holy Spirit and that he would be the one that would teach. Okay. These things. Okay. These things. So there are the things. His departure and the promise of the Holy Spirit. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But, right? Meaning, I am not going to be present with you shortly. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. What an important promise that is. We love this verse, don't we? We love it. How many Bible verses have you forgotten in your life? A lot. Does that disappoint God? No, no. Actually, he's ready for that. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit reminds us of the things that God has spoken to us through his word. Right? Paul says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And we could say, we could couple that with John 14:26. If I have the word of Christ dwelling in me richly, then the Holy Spirit has a lot to remind me of. Right? I want to give the Holy Spirit a lot of resources to remind me of. I don't care if I forget all of it. The Holy Spirit can bring it back to remembrance. And if he does it, then it is at the perfect time. And it can be applied to a situation that I'm in, and it's perfect. It's God. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life. It is him dwelling with me and teaching me all things. But it requires Christ leaving. This verse, we apply it today. We love it. But imagine it is spoken to these 11 men who were preparing for the Messiah to leave them after they thought that he would establish his kingdom here on earth. But he, in the 3.5 years, can you imagine how much he had taught them? And can you imagine how much they didn't understand of what he had taught them? Like the verse we just read that said, I can never remember the sequence. And I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The disciples are looking at each other, be like, anybody get that? Right? Anybody get that? Can we write it down? Right? Who's in what and where? What's the Holy Spirit will remind. I have spoken these words and you will forget 99% of them. But the Holy Spirit is coming and he will be your teacher, the helper, the parakletos, the one who comes alongside of you and comforts you, encourages you, and teaches you in the things that Christ has said. What a beautiful reminder. And then he says in verse 27, peace I leave with you. Peace. Shalom, right? Shalom. It's a greeting in Hebrew, right? Shalom. But it is incomplete. The peace that is given is incomplete without the Messiah. The shalom, the greeting in Hebrew, is in anticipation. It speaks of the time when the Messiah will come and there will be peace. And it is an encouragement to be anticipating and to be expecting and to be looking for the arrival of the Messiah. Peace. Christ is saying here, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. My peace. Very different. And he says it here. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Not as the world gives. Does the world offer peace? Yeah, I think the world offers peace. They offer it. But can they give it? No, they can't. There will be peace as long as you think the way I think. There will be peace as long as you give me what I want. Right? Two businesses could be at peace with each other until somebody else realizes they're being ripped off. Right? Peace is gone. So there is a peace, a shalom, an expectation, the peace of God that is only offered in Christ. All other peace is falling short. All other peace has its expiration. But the peace that God gives is eternal. Remember that verse in Ecclesiastes 3:14, what God does, he does forever. God gives us peace. that peace is forever. Yeah, there will be tribulation. Yeah, as you walk through this world, there will be some rocky roads. Have you ever been in a plane and the turbulence hit? Woo, man, that'll get you praying, won't it? Yeah, it will. I was flying, I think, to Budapest in the past few years, and on either side of me, I had never experienced someone so afraid of turbulence. Two girls on either side. It was pretty bad, but they were pretty shaken. So, we prayed. I said, I could pray. And they said, please, right? But that is happening in our life, isn't it? Like, all of a sudden the bottom drops out and we are like, whoa, we are in it. But what do we have? We have the Holy Spirit, and He is teaching us, and He is reminding us of the reality of Christ in our life. And He is reminding us of the faithfulness of God, and He is reminding us of words that have been spoken and spoken and spoken to us. And it does not require our ability to draw it up, but it requires our surrender and our dependence on the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And when it is, whoa, it's beautiful. I remember something. Has it happened? I remember being 19 years old and the God working in my life and being in South Africa. I say I was on the mission field, but I was really just looking for God. And thankfully, Pastor Manny and Molly said, you can come here and look for God. And I would listen to tapes. I opened the closet, which I thought was where I was going to put my clothes, and it was just tapes from Pastor Stevens. And I said, well, I guess I can live out of a suitcase for 5 months. That's fine. All right. And I would pick a tape. Actually, I had just had knee surgery, and I had my crutches in the airport. And I'm like thinking, like, I would rather not deal with this in security, right? Or like on the plane, and they're not going to fit in the overhead thing. So I left them there with my folks, and I walked in. So I had this knee thing, and I'm fine. Yeah. And we'd walk all day, and then I'd get home. My knee would be like this big. So I'd take some time and I'd listen to some tapes, and I would just sit there, and God was ministering to me. And I remember pouring over my Bible, and just like, like cold water to a thirsty soul. Every page I read was speaking to me. And these thoughts got, little thoughts got stuck in my mind, and it began to change my thinking. But now in the years, this is years ago, and now in the ensuing years, I have been reminded of times where I was sitting there at the table, and I can still feel it, right? Like in South Avenue, I can still feel it. And I see that verse, and I remember when God spoke to me. This is what God does. He reminds us of the things that He has done in our life. That's so important that we let Him. And what does it take? What does it take to hear from God? That you would shut your mouth. Right? Isn't that? That's what I learned this week, honestly. God is saying, well, how can you hear from me if you're always talking? How could you hear from me if you are always anxious or fearful about something? Look what He says. My peace I leave to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now I'll share a funny story with you that happened to me last night while I was studying. I have this Bible. It's a keyword study Bible, and it has the word. So you can look, there's a word and a number, and you can look up the number, and it brings you to the Greek word, and it'll give you the definition, right? Now, reading numbers and flipping pages with dyslexia can get entertaining sometimes. So I looked up this word troubled in it, and I found in the Greek it meant ulcers. Yeah. I was like, wow, this is like groundbreaking. But then I realized it was at the wrong number, and it does not mean that. I said, that would have been good. That would have been good, like scientific proof that stress is bad for you, right? But it's not there. But it was just, I said, whoa, no, wrong number. Flip the numbers around. It just means fearful, anxious, overwhelmed by it. Have we been overwhelmed? Have we been anxious? Yes. Yes. Does that mean we are broken? Does that mean we are poor Christians? No. No. It means we're human. And we are walking in a life, and we are walking in a world and living a life that has difficulty. And we will be coming up against these obstacles. There will be tribulation, but be of good cheer. In the midst of that pressure, in the midst of that tribulation, in the midst of that fear, I will be there. And if you will listen, I will be teaching you and I will be reminding you of something, some word, some faithful thing that I have done for you. Will you have your ear tuned to the Holy Spirit? It's a challenge, isn't it? It is. But is it possible? Yes. How much light from God does it take to illuminate my life? Oh, it just takes a second. It just takes a minute of being with God. I am refreshed. And something comes in, and it is the Holy Spirit coming in, like He came in the book of Acts chapter 2, like a mighty rushing wind. Lord, it's the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Lord, will you help drown out the noise in my soul? Will you help drown out the noise of fear and the drumming of anxiety that is in my life? Will you? And we look at the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Have you ever had an airplane fly over? Right? Whoa. We went out to the airfield a couple years ago, back when they did public events and people could go, right? And what was that group that was there, Pat? The Thunderbirds. I thought the Thundercats, but that's different, right? It's a cartoon. Right, the Thunderbirds, it's the Air Force, like, stunt team. And what planes were they flying? F-15s, right? And they came over quietly, and then right when they got over the audience, they hit it. And whoa, man, that was a mighty rushing, the sound of a mighty rushing wind. This is like the sound of the Holy Spirit coming in is able to overpower the sound of stress and anxiety in my life. It is a more powerful sound. It is something that is more abundant, but it is peaceful. It is overpowering everything that is, but it brings peace. And it brings the memory of God's work. The memory of the words of Christ. These disciples, these 11 men, if you read the book of Acts, these 11 men went into the whole world with the gospel. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was there reminding them of the words that Christ had taught them in the upper room. About His abiding with them. About their ability to do more than what He had done. About His answering their prayers. About His ear being bent to them. About loving one another, about serving one another, about leadership not being dictating things, but leadership being the one who serves. The lessons that are taught in the upper room are applied in the book of Acts, and through it we see the church grow. Peter preaches, 3,000 get saved. Peter preaches, they all get arrested and threatened. Right? Acts chapter 4 and 5. Imagine that, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're so intimidated by the gospel that they bring these guys in, they say, hey, knock it off. And Peter's like, what are you gonna do? Yeah. We'll make you wear a mask. No, we won't. No, nothing. We can't do anything. Knock it off. He's like, okay, thank you guys. Okay, thank you. And they go out and they preach. Actually, they arrest them. They arrest Peter and the disciples and they lock them up and then in the night, the angels open the gates and they all escape. So in the morning, actually they don't escape, they just walk out confidently. So in the morning, the Sadducees are there and they're debating. They're like, what should we do with these guys? What can we do to them? How can we scare them? How can we really, really get this message of Jesus out of here? We can't afford it. And they say, okay, go get them. We got to bring them in. So the guards go, the doors are locked, the guards are in place, everything is right, but the prison's empty. The prison's empty. And then they hear them preaching down the hall. They say, oh, they go back. They say, hey guys, we got some good news and we got some bad news, right? We know where the prisoners are. Right? Okay, that's good. Why didn't you bring them? Because they're in the temple preaching and somehow they made it out of the thing, right? So they bring them back in. They say, they beat them. It says they beat them. And they say, stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Peter and the disciples, they walk away. They say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that we could fellowship in your sufferings. You know how many people get saved as a result of that little expedition? 5,000 people. Huh? Where is the authority? The authority is with Christ. And will I allow the Holy Spirit to lead me in boldness beyond the fear in this life. This is what they add. They pray in Acts chapter 5. They pray for boldness. Give us boldness. Give us confidence in what you are. And the Holy Spirit gives it. He delivers it. And they go out in boldness. And they are mocked. They are abused. They are beaten physically. And they say, woohoo, yeah. 5,000 souls added to the kingdom. You can take my back anytime. Right? Wow. Where does that come from? That comes from the Holy Spirit leading us in great memory of the truth. He is called in Acts chapter 14, verse 17, I believe, he is called the Spirit of Truth. Christ calls himself in 14:6, the way, the truth, and the life. That the Spirit leads me in the greater truth. Okay. Now, let's finish here. Okay. Verse 28. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. Do you understand what that means? No clue what it means, Lord. It still makes no sense to us as we sit here in this room. All right? That's what the disciples are saying. Okay. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father and my Father is greater than I. What reason do I have to rejoice? Do I rejoice because I understand everything that Jesus has ever said? No. That's not where I rejoice. I rejoice in knowing who he is. Because I know who he is, I trust what he does. And I might not understand everything he does, but I trust him. He is greater than what he does. I want to know him. If I try to answer every single question, what will happen? I will have more questions. Is Christ's answer sufficient? Remember Philip? Show us the Father and it is sufficient for us, right? If you give me what I want, then I'll believe that who you are. No, Philip. I have been with you this long. You know who I am. Rest in the fact that you know who I am and trust me when you don't know what I'm doing. Right? It's great. I can rejoice in that. Right? And now, I have told you before it comes to pass that when it does come to pass, you may believe. Right? Isn't that a good one? You don't understand what the heck I'm talking about right now. But when it all happens, you're going to say, oh my gosh, he told us that was going to happen. And it did. And now we understand. Right? Talk about the faithfulness of God leading us into what he is going to do. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. Whoa. The ruler of this world. Who's that? The devil, right? He's coming. What does that mean? There's going to be a battle. There is a showdown coming. There is going to be the greatest battle ever fought will be happening on this hill in Golgotha. But look what he says next. He's coming and he has nothing in me. He has nothing in me. The devil has nothing in Christ. What does that mean? Well, it means that there is nothing in Christ that can be accessed by the devil. There is no sin nature that the devil can hang on to. There is no activity of sin that the devil can blackmail or leverage for Christ. Imagine that. Imagine if Christ is going, like some politician is going to the polls and he's like, really hope they don't figure that one out. Right? Really hope they don't dig into that piece of past. Really hope that person really does close their mouth. No, Christ is walking to the cross. He's saying he is coming. Who is he? The ruler. Thank you. The ruler of this world is coming. But he has nothing in me. He has no leverage. He has no chance. He has no opportunity. There is authority on one side and there is a loss coming on the other side. And that's why he is speaking. Because these things are going to happen, and when they happen, they will say, oh my gosh, the Messiah. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me command, so do I. Arise, let us go from here. Right? Arise, let us go from here. Let's move on. And then it seems like they don't go anywhere, and he speaks for two more chapters, but that's just another interesting point. Right. Okay, so there is the context, right? There is the conversation that's happening in the upper room with the disciples, the importance of this time, the importance of this teaching for these men, But also now let's look at it for the importance of our lives now. Right? Like I said, here we are living our life, going into event after event, obstacle after obstacle. Have you ever thought, you know, next month it'll be better? Or once we, you know, do this, it'll be better. And if this happens, then it'll be fine. But then what happens when you get to that point? There's another thing. COVID! Right? Man, I just can't wait. Once we get to 2020, it's going to be awesome. Woo! Hell, what the heck happened? Right? Here we go. 2021. I myself said, yeah, 2021's coming. Here we go. Yeah. January 2nd, I got COVID. Right? So, oh man. Okay. We got a 2-week pause on that good year coming. No. it's always going to be something. We were somewhere the other morning with a group of guys and, there's an officer who's talking to us and, you know, I tested positive yesterday. And he looked at me, right? I don't know. It was a stupid joke. I don't know how it came up. I don't remember how it happened, actually. It was funny at the time. But now, based on your reaction, it was not funny. Right? No, we were just joking around with the officer. I said, yeah, I got tested. I tested positive too. He goes, oh, really? I said, yeah, yesterday. And he's like, what are you doing? And he got his handcuffs, just sprayed me down with Purell. Okay, where are we? Okay, yeah, so there's always something coming, right? There's always something coming. And we anticipate getting to the end of the obstacle, but what comes? Another obstacle. Like we put up the scene to say, okay, once we get there, it'll be over. And like the disciples could be saying here we go, it's Passover. He's talking about the end of things. He's talking about what? He's leaving? What? We thought this was the time. We just rode, John chapter 12, we just rode into Jerusalem like royalty. We thought this was the end of the oppression of Rome. We thought this was the time for us to be the top dogs. You're leaving? We're going to suffer? Tribulation? What? Right. And in our life, it is the same. God answers a prayer, but then there is another event that leads us into prayer. Right. And we are hoping and hoping and hoping and hoping, and it happens. We breathe for a minute and then the next obstacle is there. This is where we need the Holy Spirit to come and to remind us of who we are, of who God is, of what He has done for us, of what He has placed inside of us, of where He is bringing us. All of these amazing truths, because these things, these obstacles, these barriers, these events, what do? They wear us down. They wear us down physically. Have you felt physically drained by stress and anxiety? Yep, check. Have you been emotionally drained by what is happening? Check, right? Have you been spiritually felt like you've been bankrupt by the stress of the times? Check. Yeah, we have. What do we need? We need a different memory. We need a reminder of things that have happened in our life. How is it? I don't know. This happens in my own life. How is it that I go through these great victories with God and I celebrate them, but then it could be months later that I say, God's never done anything in my life. Where are you? Right? Like the nation of Israel, they crossed the Red Sea. Have you read the story? It's miraculous by definition. They walked through an ocean on dry ground. You know how long it took them to complain? 3 days. 3 days. They saw the 10 plagues. They saw all this crazy stuff happen. The livestock of Egypt dies, but not of Israel. There is darkness in the whole land of Egypt, but in Goshen where Israel lives, it's light. Like all these things happening. And then they see the Red Sea part. There's an army behind us and a sea in front of us. What are we going to do? I got an idea, Moses says. I'm going to put this little wooden stick in the water. Oh yeah, great. Okay. Okay, wow, we really followed the wrong guy here. What happens? The sea splits and they walk through it. And the cloud, the presence of God, again, the presence of God with His people, the cloud is following them and confusing the army of Egypt so that they're free to walk through. And they get through the other side and then it closes up all their enemies behind them. Right? The horse and the rider have been swallowed up. Exodus chapter 15. Right? 3 days later, man, I just want a cucumber. Man, the onions in Egypt, they were so good. Moses, what are we doing out here? I'm thirsty. You're like, can we have any memory of the work of God? Naturally, I am just like the people of Israel, right? I leave church, I'm like, woohoo, yeah! But then by Wednesday morning, I'm like, God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you? You don't love me anymore. Right? What do we need? The Holy Spirit to teach us. The Holy Spirit to teach us to put our hands to the Word and apply it. There is obedience in the Christian life. And the Holy Spirit says to me, I understand that you are feeling a lot of pressure. You have anxiety and fear and all of that. Have you written the words that I have spoken to you about it? I'm not saying it's going to be a magic pill, but I'm saying it will help you have context and the other word that has to do with context about the situation. Right? What is it? Anyway, right? I'm teaching you. I'm teaching you. Perspective. There it is. I'm teaching you. Allow me to teach you and allow me to remind you that you can apply any of these words to your life. And we can say, I don't remember the words. Oh, okay, that's fine. Allow me to lead you in a memory of the Bible. He speaks. Because what are we up against? We've said it. We're up against an enemy. And in Psalm 37, it says, when the iniquity of my heels has surrounded me, the iniquity of my heels, the devil would love to remind me of my past, doesn't he? Remember when? And we start to play in our mind. You smell something, you're like, whoop, and it brings you back. You hear a song, whoop, brings you back. And all of a sudden, you could be in a bad train of thought. Do you think that's a mistake? Do you think that's a chance? Do you think that is a harmless event? Apply something greater. Lean on someone who is in you and who is leading you, teaching you, and reminding you the Word of God. He leads us to peace. He leads us to it. The devil hates us. Is that a surprise? Well, he'll teach us that in John chapter 16, what the devil is in for. But we saw in John 10, he likes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He makes a lot of promises. He offers a lot of peace, but is he able to deliver? No. All he wants is control, and he wants us to live in fear. But the Holy Spirit leads us into peace. Peace outwardly? No, maybe not. Actually, most likely not. Right? There will be times and there will be moments of peace and savor them, enjoy them. Don't feel guilty about having like a peace in your life. Right? Have you ever felt that way? Right? You're like, oh man, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Oh, so peaceful. Should I be feeling peaceful? Right? Like, is there something wrong right now? Am I forgetting an appointment? Am I supposed to be doing something else? Am I forgetting a kid? Right? Like, am I allowed to feel peace? Yes. Enjoy it. When God is giving you something, enjoy it and allow it to minister to you. Allow His presence to wash over you and like refresh you. But also the peace that He's talking about is internal, where there is a reality of God dwelling in me, not by merit, but by His choice and by His gracious work. He comes and He dwells inside of me and He teaches me and He reminds me. And he leads me in peace internally. That it could look like I'm like Rocky Balboa externally, right? Just taking hit after hit. But internally I have peace because there is a greater truth there, right? What comes up in my past could be true, but that's naturally true. What Christ has done is true and it is eternally true. It is a greater truth. The blood of Jesus is a greater truth than my past sin. Don't let that sin come in and affect your present time. But instead, let the past work of the cross come in and affect your present time by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is like a mystery, isn't it? Like he's teaching about the Holy Spirit here, and he basically says to him, listen, I know you, none of you have any idea what I just said. Based on your facial expression, you're all very confused and lost right now. But don't worry. The Holy Spirit will come and He will teach you everything I just said, and He will remind you of what is needed at that time specifically. So, this is our great privilege as believers to be depending on the leading of the Holy Spirit, to be depending on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that we know that we are not orphans, that we are here and we are faced with pressure and we are faced with an assault from the kingdom of darkness in Ephesians chapter 6. We are. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of this world. We do wrestle. But don't get dragged into that, but lean on the promises of God and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and He strengthens us for the fight. Doesn't He? Is it Psalm 16 maybe? It says, 14, He teaches my hands to war. Isn't that a good verse? Right? I think it's Pastor Butch Vieter's favorite verse. He teaches my hands to war, right? What kind of warfare? Not a carnal warfare, but a spiritual warfare where I am listening to the remembrance that the Holy Spirit brings back to me. That is where I fight my battle. The battleground is in my mind and I am leaning on the Holy Spirit and depending on Him. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your work in our lives, and thank You for reminding us of the greater truth that You have overcome the world. Thank You. If there's anybody here who's never received Christ, you've never accepted Him as your Savior, just say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Come into my heart and live. Give me this assurance of Your presence. And if you've said that prayer, just raise your hand real quick. We'll pray with you. All right, Lord, thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. You've delivered us. You encourage us. You remind us. Bless us. We close this song, Lord, and we will continue in a heart of worship in Your name. Amen.